Moncrief on News Talk.
In an age where we are more conscious than ever about mental health and well-being, trigger warnings have become a common practice in schools, in media and online spaces too. Some say that they're essential for protecting individuals from content that could cause emotional distress, while others argue that they're overly cautious and might even stifle open dialogue. So what is the real deal with trigger warnings? Well, to discuss this, I'm joined by clinical psychologist and author Mally Coyne. Good afternoon, Mally. Are you there?
Hi.
Hi, there you are. Oh, I didn't think you were there for me. You're there. Great. And you're loud and clear, Mally. So how essential are trigger warnings for people who've been through a traumatic experience?
I don't know about them being essential as such. I mean, the term trigger warning was coined in the late 1990s, which was on feminist internet message boards, where it cautioned readers about graphic depictions of, you know, different crimes and things that might be quite sensitive for people. And the word trigger comes from the language of post-traumatic stress disorder, which obviously psychologists and psychiatrists, we do these diagnoses. And it has good intention of helping people who want to avoid reminders of a personal trauma. So that's where it's now been popularized, and you see it, you know, when it associated with books, with shows people are going to watch, with some stuff they're going to maybe look at on social media, something they're going to watch on TV. The practice is there, and it's very much about trying to protect people's mental health. But in practice, there is no real scientific evidence to show that they actually help to reduce distress amongst people who have been traumatized.
Because that's what I was going to ask you. Do they actually work? Because sometimes I see, now I've had, you know, a very nice life and I've nothing traumatic has really ever happened to me, but I sometimes see a trigger warning and I think, does the trigger warning already remind a person about the thing that they've suffered? Does that make sense?
That's a really good, it's a really good point, because I suppose when I was researching for this interview, I saw that there had been research conducted, a meta-analysis a few years ago, which a meta-analysis basically means that they're taking a load of studies and they're trying to figure out what were the common findings amongst these studies that were well conducted, you know, that fit certain. And they found that people who were told that they were about to view potentially distressing content were actually experiencing what's called anticipatory anxiety. So yes, they were kind of starting to feel on edge before even watching or looking at the content. There was a difference between those who were warned about it with a trigger warning and those who weren't. So that was quite interesting to see that it. And actually, another interesting finding was that when people were told there's a trigger warning on you, what you might see, they were more likely to choose to watch it compared to those who weren't told. So it's like for the forbidden fruit.
It's click,
you want to watch something
clickbait-y.
Forbidden.
You know, it could be a bit clickbaity that, you know, this is a bit different. This is sensitive. I will click on this. Yeah, I've thought that too. Do you think trigger warnings are excessive? I feel like they seem to be everywhere at the moment.
I think they've probably become very mainstream because we're kind of concerned about people's mental health. And we're also, never before like now are we exposed to so many images, things that are quite disturbing. Mm. I mean, I think about people, there's jobs now for psychologists looking after content moderators. Those are the people that are controlling and monitoring what's going on social media apps and the horrible images that they might, you know, and that can really, like, I don't want people to think that, you know, it doesn't cause, it can cause distress to see things that are quite harrowing and graphic. And I think, you know, having kids myself, I want to know what the age limit is on a film. I want to know what are the topics that are going to be covered in order to make an informed decision about whether my children are going to watch it or whether I'm actually in the form to watch it, because it could, you know, if you have been traumatized. But the thing is with trigger warnings, our traumas are so individual to ourselves that, you know, you can't just say, oh, because you've had this particular trauma, that looking at it is going to make you feel traumatized. For somebody who's traumatized, it could be something as simple as a door or going outside or something that isn't traumatic to the rest of us could be traumatic to the person who's experienced the trauma.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know? So it's hard to individualize it. But and that's why
in saying that, though, it's almost impossible to give a trigger warning on anything or everything because it is so individual. And with that, I was chatting to a colleague in the office earlier on, and I know a person who a couple of years ago announced their pregnancy on Instagram and got a good few DMs saying, you should have had a trigger warning on that because, you know, I have gone through fertility treatment or I have, you know, had 4 miscarriages. And I was shocked when she told me about that. I really was shocked because my take on that was, well, then maybe a Pampers ad should have a trigger warning. You know, I just thought that was, and I'm going back 2 or 3 years ago now.
No.
So it's so hard.
I think
hard.
That's the problem. That's excessive. I think that's excessive because at the end of the day, it's like, you know, when I was trying to have a baby years ago, all I could, and again, I'm afraid to even talk about this in case this is a trigger warning. But what I mean is you do end up seeing content that's related to what you're trying to do. Like when you're trying to buy a car, all you see is cars. When you're trying to have a baby, all you see is people with babies. It just seems to be what we look out for more. And when you think of the way social media and the, you know, what we're being fed is completely related to what our interests have been, then, you know, you can see how you're going to be fed more information about babies if that's kind of your area of interest. But I think it has gone maybe a little bit excessive to a degree.
Yes.
But I don't think that's enough to say, let's just do away with them altogether. The thing about trigger warnings, though, is that all they're saying is we're trying to prepare you. And by preparing you, that'll make you kind of more able to deal with it. But really, you're not providing anybody with a coping strategy for managing that. So what I would do, like if I'm giving a lecture, say, on attachment and infant mental health and stuff to do with like early relationships when I'm in the University of Galway, what I would say is today we're going to talk a lot about like relationships or early relationships with parents and caregivers. And sometimes this can trigger things for people because it can, like our early relationships when we talk about that.
So it's a gentle,
so therefore,
a gentle reminder. And to let people make a choice for themselves. And that's, I suppose, the best thing we can do.
And it's not necessarily to say you can leave the class because if this is affecting you, because obviously they need to be in that class in order to do the thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's to kind of talk to them about if you are feeling, if this, you know, just to kind of be mindful. And then if you want to leave the room for a few minutes, but you don't have to kind of, I think we're just afraid of being like overly mollycoddling people. So I think we just need to be sensitive, but maybe not oversensitive. It's a hard one, really.
It really, really is. Well, they're not going to go away anytime soon. I'm glad about that. My thanks to Mally Coyne, clinical psychologist and author.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.